Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Thank you for all of your cards and your gifts and your appreciation that you have given to us. And look, we love you, and we're glad to be able to be your pastor and minister to you. And we're just family. We really are. We're family. It's one of the greatest things about this body is that we're family. And we act like it. You know what that means, don't you? We love on each other, and sometimes we don't get along. I'm just being honest. You know, sometimes we have disagreements, but we know we're family. Is that true? Amen. I want to talk to you today. If you'll go to Isaiah 6, I want to talk to you today, and the question that I have is, what will you do about the harvest? Ask your neighbor, what will you do about the harvest? Isaiah 6, let's start there. In the year that King Uzziah's death, Uzziah is king and he died, Isaiah says, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each, so there's more than one, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one came out, one called out to the other and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds trembled. At the voice of him who called out from the temple was filling with smoke. Then I said, Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. And he touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? So that's us, is the Father, Son, and the Spirit having the conversation. Who's going to go for us? Who are we going to be able to send? Then Isaiah said, Then I said, Here am I. Said out loud.
Send me.
Are you louder than that? I know.
Send me.
Send me. Here am I. Send me. Here am I. Send me. Before we get deep into it, I want to do a little bit of background so we catch the very thing, the essence of Isaiah's worship experience and what was going on. But I want to hit those first few words at the beginning. In the year that Uzziah died. In the year Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. I wonder what is so significant about that. Would you like to know? Okay. I'm about to tell you. Uzziah was set in as king when he was 16. And he had a lot of successes. He was instructed by a prophet, Zechariah, who instructed him that as long as he feared the Lord and he sought the Lord, God would make him prosper. Uzziah made it his ambition to please God, to please the Lord. And he was very successful in what he did. It looked like everything that he did, the Lord provided for him. The Lord fought enemies for him, raised him up to be able to win battles. And he overcame all the enemies that he faced. And all the fame and the things that he had accomplished began to spread out all over the region about how powerful Uzziah's army and his warriors were. So all that was going. So you can see he's very, very successful in walking with God and serving God. But along the way, something happened. Tragically wrong. What was that? When he was at the top of his game as being the king, he grew in power. He grew in his army. He grew with his warriors. He grew with the warriors that he had. And the enemies began to fear him. He had achieved all these great things for Judah. But at some point, he forgot it was the Lord that was doing it. In 2 Chronicles, it says that he became strong and his heart became proud. He became strong. His heart became proud. And he acted corruptly. And he was unfaithful to the Lord his God. What did he do with his pride? His pride began to bring him down little by little. He is 58 at this time. He's been reigning for 42 years. He's 58 at this time when this happens. So it's not just how you start. It is also how you finish. What goes on through your mind, through your life, as you serve the Lord, it's how we finish. You know, how many of you know you can start a race? Doesn't mean you're going to finish it. I know Tanya, that there, she's been in a lot of races with swimming. You can't give up, can you, Tanya? You're struggling, you got that last lap. Matter of fact, she missed going to the Olympics by 19/100 of a second. So that's how great a swimmer she is. Was. Well, you're still, you still are Tanya, right? I say is. You still are a great swimmer. You're a great person as well. But you can't quit. You can be tired in that last lap, in that last turn. That she's kicking off that wall to finish that last leg, but you can't quit. You got to stay on course. You got to stay in your lane. You have to stay in the place that God has put you. You can't cross over in this other lane. You're disqualified, aren't you? If you was to cross over, it's disqualified. Something's going on with Uzziah here. So he gets proud. All these things begin to happen. He's unfaithful to the Lord. What did he do? Here's what he did. He crossed over in another person's lane. Yes, he was king, but he can't do certain things that God has designed the priests to do. They all have their place. He's king. He's not a priest. Jesus was all of it, prophet, priest, and king. But Uzziah is a king. He's not a priest. So he begins in his own mind and his own thoughts and his own thinking. He's so strong. He's got it. He's at the top of his game. Everything's going great. He's won all these battles. Fame. He's just... So why should he wait on a priest? I can do this. So he enters into the temple and begins to walk toward the altar of incense. And in the process of that, The high priest is the only one that can do that, not the king. And as a matter of fact, it is a capital offense. That means death. So he walks to it. But the high priest gathers 80 priests, and they go in the temple to stop him from doing what he's about to do. And as they, and you have to understand this, he's king. He's famous. Everybody fears him. But there was 80 priests and the high priest that wasn't afraid of him, because they knew what God said. They knew God's order. They knew the lane that God had put them in. They knew the lane that God had put the king in. And he's just violated one. I can do this. I'm the king. I can do anything that I want to. I'll just jump over here in this lane and it's going to be fine. I'm king. You hear the pride? I'm king. I'm going to do this. So they're getting him. They're calling him out on it. And he becomes angry with rage. Why is that? Here's a priest telling the king what he can and cannot do. Well, he's king. Yeah, but it's not God's order. He's got things that he's supposed to do, and God has anointed him to do that. God has not anointed him to be the priest, to be the high priest. So in his pride, his arrogance, his self-ambition, he moved to the place that was out of place. He moved into the very thing that God told him he cannot do, but decided he'd do it anyway. So why the emphasis of knowing the history? Here's why. His arrogance, his self-will, his pride, his selfish ambition. I'll do it my way and not God's way. Now jump back up at the beginning of the passage. In the year that Uzziah died, Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. Why, excuse me, why is that significant? Brenda, hand me that water, please. Why is that significant? I'll tell you why. It's in the year when selfish ambition, pride, I'll do it my way. When that dies, the Lord will be seen. The Lord will be noticed. The Lord will be manifested in the presence. Excuse me. So in the year, at the time when we have ambition, selfish ambition, when we have pride, when we have all of this that we have in our mind that we're all that, and we think we can do it without him and do it another way than he said to do it. God has his word and God has his ways. We need to learn both. Because if God says don't do something, what should we not do? What he says don't do. If God says do something, what should we do? What he's saying. And then we see the way that God operates. And that's his way that we should walk in. Matter of fact, early on, they called Christians, early Christians, the people of the way. What way? The way of the Lord. The things that God's done, Jesus did, they're doing. And they actually mock them. See, being called a Christian in that day was mockery. You're just little Christ. They were just mocking them about being following Jesus, following Christ. It was mockery for them to be called that. So when selfish ambition, which is actually part of earthly wisdom, we've been studying some of that on Wednesday night. He said, wisdom that comes from the earth down here, it's earthly. It's natural. The Bible also said it is demonic. It can be demonic. Earthly wisdom can be demonized to the place that it's following darkness. You think it's great wisdom, but it's not. It's not. See, it could not line up with God's way or God's word. Is that wise to do? Absolutely not. So, and it says, it's selfish ambition and bitter jealousy. That's the wisdom of the world. But it's not wisdom from above, and it's not God's way to act that way. So it's in the year that selfish ambition dies. And I'm saying, if you're stuck on doing it your way, you won't see him near as much as you think you're seeing him. Because we can convince ourselves that we got this. And I really don't. Have you prayed? You know, it's like this, team of deacons were together, and they had all this, had these decisions to make, and they couldn't make decision. They said this, said it, couldn't make decision, said this, said that, couldn't make the decision. That had been there an hour and a half. Finally, one deacon says, "Well, I guess we need to pray about it." And the other one of the deacons says, "Well, has it come to that?" It's just a joke. It really is. It's just a joke. You could say a bunch of pastors. You could say a bunch of preachers. You could say you put any of them in that. You really can. But see, the same thing is like, well, we need to really call on the Lord. Has it come to that? Can't we handle this? Can't we do this without him? I tell you, we ought to pray about everything. Say everything. The way you think you might need to do it and it worked before may not be the way he wants you to do it now. Jesus didn't heal everybody the same way. And don't, just because something happens in a great way, don't say that's the way you got to do it all the time. No, ask God about it next time. You know, I don't know, some of you, I know a lot of you were here probably, but it's been several years ago, but we had feathers to fall out of the ceiling. They fell in a classroom, they fell, and it wasn't, when I say feathers, it wasn't like snow, it was about 5 feathers, that's all it was. And so some people would walk up, one person walked up, hand me a feather. Another person would come over there, hand me a feather. Another person, just from all over, another feather came. And I'm like, what are you guys handing me all these feathers for? And it wasn't the same bird. I said, we have got a flock of birds somewhere up here. One of them landed on Mr. Bradshaw. He was a Presbyterian that came and stayed with us a long time. But he's like, I mean, during worship, he's pretty settled. Don't have a lot of emotion about that, but that was just him. And I was fine with that. But he didn't. All of a sudden, here comes his feather, and it's doing. And it lands right on his foot. And he looks down, and his precious wife looks down at it. And she said, "What is that?" And he said, "A feather." "Where'd that come from?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "But they've been people taking past or something, and I think it's feathers. I'm going to take this one." So he brings it. But anyway, I've got 5 feathers. And they're giving me all these things. And I'm like, what, going to do with five feathers? So I finally, you know what I did? I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't have a clue what these feathers mean. What do they mean? And it was just like that. He said, Psalm 91. What does that say? I will hide you under his wings. I will hide you under my wings. So what he was saying was that the congregation needs to know that I'm protecting them. I'm protecting them. So I said, great, now I know what to say about the feathers. You know, otherwise I'd have made something up and it would have been all wrong with earthly wisdom. It might even have been demonic if I said something. You hear me? If I said earthly wisdom. But you know the other thing we didn't do? I mean, we just shared that, and I think another person or two had something on it, and it was great. I liked that. But it'd been real easy to say, God's moving. God's doing it. Come on back. We'll get some more next week. And then we could put out on a sign, come visit the Feather Church. Are y'all hearing me? That's human tendency. There's nothing wrong with recognizing God. And it was a miracle. There wasn't no birds up top. It was just feathers falling. So different, everyone, different colors. Different, just different. But it's the same thing with out of Transfiguration. Had the disciples and what they want to do. Let's build some monuments right here. Jesus said, It ain't about that. It's about him. So we can try to make things happen that God does not want to happen. We're getting out of our lane. Understand what I'm saying? And then we'll start having selfish ambition. And we'll call it God when God's not telling you to do that. I'm just being very honest with you. We can get out in some things that's not in our lane to do. Because we really feel like God's doing something. If he's doing something, let him continue to do it. I'm fine with that. I've told you before, I don't mind weird. And trust me, that was weird. I don't mind weird because I've read the Bible. There's some weird things that happens in the Bible. I don't mind weird. I just want it to be authentic and not man-made. Authenticity. Be who we are. Let God do what he wants. And let's just follow him wherever he takes us. Amen. When that dies, we get to see him. And Isaiah had an awesome experience with the worship of God. Tremendous experience. He saw the fiery. See, the seraphim were fiery angels. The seraphim means fiery ones. With their wings and they're there. He sees that. He sees the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his majesty filled the temple. Have you ever been in a wedding? And the bride had this beautiful dress, and the train was about 15. I've seen some. I used to do wedding photography a long time ago. I've seen some about 20 feet long. You know what you do not do? It's when she starts coming in, you don't close the door before the train is in. What does that mean? When God starts moving, you don't close the door on His majesty, say, that's enough. So the train, His majesty was allowed to be fill the room. God's able to do that today. He's able to do whatever He wants to, but He's waiting on us. He's waiting on us to keep the door open for Him. Not for man, not for man-made stuff, not for a name to be known for anything other than believers, followers of Jesus. There's a lot, I believe there's a lot He wants to do, but we're not cooperating with Him to let Him do it. Because we have some agendas instead of some surrender. Amen? Amen. Let me get back to this. So I say, when you really want to see Him and who He is, you're going to have to lose. We are going to have to lose this pride, this selfish ambition, this jealousy that we have, and this wanting to do things without Him. I'd like for you to draw your next breath without Him. You can't. We need Him for everything. Our whole being, we need Him. You listen. Pastor John, when he's up here, he's not trying to mimic Pastor Terry. He's going to be Pastor John. When Mike Duncan comes up, just be who you are. Let God use you. Don't start changing lanes. You know, matter of fact, yesterday, we had a memorial service yesterday, and I took my jacket off, this was before the service started, and was setting out chairs and doing this and doing that. I took my jacket off. He took his off, and then we finished everything, and I just grabbed a coat, a jacket, and I put it on. And I was fine with it. The pants were gray, but the jacket was black. But I was fine with it. We're getting closer. And he chases me all the way. He's looking around for. He says, "Who would get my coat? I've lost my coat. Where's my coat? Y'all seen my coat? Honey, have you seen my coat? I hadn't seen your coat. Where did you have it last? The last time I had it, it was on. But I took it off. I got to find my coat." And he walks around. He said, "Whose is this one? It's gray. Mine's black." So he goes outside and he chases me up the hill. And I get out of the truck. I'm moving some things around. And I get out of the truck. He just walks up. He said, "You got my coat on?" I looked and said, "Do I?" And yeah, I did. But I was fine with it. You ever heard that saying, "Be like Mike"? I was trying to be like Mike. I like Mike. I love Mike. He's a great guy. But there's already a mic. There's already a mic. I can't be like Mike. You get that? So we changed jackets and there we were, ourselves again. God does strange things. And we do strange things. But there's already a Mike. There's already a John. There's already a Terry Wilson. There's already people. You don't need to be them. You need to be you. Now, listen. I can't be a T.D. Jakes. There's already a T.D. Jakes. Are you with me? And I'm not making fun. But the way he preached it, he said, get ready. Touch three people and say, I'm ready. I'm not making fun. That's how he moves. That's how he operates. I don't operate that way. For me to get up there, y'all say, what in the world is wrong with Pastor? Or, who is that? You understand what I'm saying? Be me. And like I said, I'm not making fun. I'm saying his way of ministry, his way that he does, is different than mine. It's great. It's just not who I am. So we can't be so ambitious to see somebody else's success and want to mimic that success when he hasn't anointed me to be successful in that. Have you ever been at the wrong place at the wrong time? Let me know if I'm talking to you. You've been at the wrong place, wrong time. And you realize it and you say, what am I doing here? Lord, what am I doing here? And the Lord says, I don't know. Now, he does know. But he said, I didn't tell you to go there. So we can't have this ambition to be something that God's not told us to be. Or to do something that God's not told us to do. We need to be obedient to what God said to do or not to do. And when he says you don't need to do that, we don't need to do that. As a matter of fact, it was in the word in about three different books. It was talking about the priest, the high priest, and their duties, the priest, and what they're supposed to do. Now, King Uzziah knew that. He wasn't ignorant to that. He knew it. But guess what he did? He did it anyway. He's king, by the way. That's the reason you can't look at your pastor and say, well, he's boss. He's not boss. I'm not boss. I remember Israel was real little, and he looked at me one day, and he said, Papa, are you the boss of the church? And I said, no, I'm not even the boss of my wife. That's what I said. I get a witness over there. No, that's a good one. No, I'm the leader, not the boss. I lead the home. I'm responsible for the home goes, but I'm not the boss. Find your place, get in it, and run. Do what it is that God wants you to do. Don't compare it. Don't compare it to somebody else's ministry. Don't compare it to somebody else's success. Don't start comparing yourselves among yourselves. That's what the Bible says. Don't compare yourselves among yourselves. Why, if we do that, we'll start looking at, wait a minute, his is more successful than mine. Then I'll just do what he's doing. If God hadn't told you to do that, don't do it. Okay. Are y'all okay? Yeah. Are you learning anything? Yeah. No, I've got to close. I got to. Yeah, I've got page one done. Matter of fact, be like Mike. He came up here yesterday, and they gave him 3 minutes. I sat right here. He did real good. He really did. I sat right here, and Pastor John announced, I want everybody to know that we gave them 3 minutes, so everybody in here knows 3 minutes. And I'm sitting over there going, that'll never happen. No, they were real close. But anyway, he came up, and he had all this network printer paper that was linked together. You know, you could pick it up and sheet after sheet. He came up with a stack, I don't know, something like that. And he pulled up the first one. He says, okay, I'm going to start my 3 minutes. And then he lets this other stuff fall out, and it's just all the way down. And on top of that, when he finishes, he starts right here, and he starts dancing and jumping. You want to do it again? No, no. He didn't tell me to. There you go. So he danced. Why? Because the Lord told him to. And I got up next. I can't follow that. I just can't follow that. I really can't. Matter of fact, I told the congregation, I said, listen, I've been married for 54 years. I'm not going to follow that because I still want to make it 55. And if I did that, Brenda Howell would. On top of that, when we dated, we danced and did shag. Well, she did the shag. I don't know what I was doing, but she did. Am I getting off topic? No. And anyway, she danced great, really. But she looked at me. She said, "Do you know when you dance, you look like a wounded duck falling out of the sky." All right, Lord, I need help. I need help. Don't try to be John Travolta. All right. But let me finish with this. I mean, there's a lot to say, but I don't have time to say it. This is supposed to be about the harvest? Yeah. And I'll end with this. Selfish ambition has died. Doing it your own way has died. Isaiah experiences seeing the Lord. He notices that in seeing how majestic he is, that he sees himself as being ruined. Whoa, how ruined I am. I'm a ruined man. And God hears that. And in the midst comes one of the fiery angels with a burning coal and touches his lips. And he tells him, "Your iniquity is gone and your sins are forgiven." Now he sees not only the majesty of God, but he sees what God has done in his life. When you and I get to the place that our worship is genuine, and you know what I mean by genuine? You get this urge to do something, and you look at the person beside you, and then you say, "I ain't doing that," because you don't want to be seen doing it. Or you may have shame, or you may have, no. Genuine worship is when it's an overflow of your heart in the presence of God. And no matter who's looking, you're gonna let that overflow that the brother was talking about the other week, overflow up to him. You're gonna let that impact your life. And then the question comes out, who? Who is it that we can send? And out of that overflow of worship, out of that leaving the thing of selfish ambition, leaving the thing of wanting to do it your way, leaving all of that, and then who is it that we can send? Out of that worship, out of that moment of his life being touched by God, with iniquities leaving and with his sins forgiven, he makes his declaration, "Here I am. Send me. Send me." What causes us to say, "Here I am. Send me. I'll go tell them how great you are. I'll go tell them how wonderful you are. I'll go tell them about how loving you are. I'll go tell them about awesome things that you can do. And I'll go tell them. I'll go tell them what you've done for me. I'll go tell them that he can do the same for you. I'll go. What's causing that? Out of the overflow of what God has done in him and me and you. And saying, here I am. Send me. Send me to the store. Send me to the gas station. Send me to the market. Send me to the school. Send me. Why? I've got something to tell them. See, you have to understand that God already knew where he was. God already knew what he had done for him. But Isaiah was so on fire in who he is, because he's clean now. And when the question is asked, who can we send? He makes it a point. Here I am. Here I am. Lord knew where he was. Here I am. Have I got your attention, God? I want your attention. Here I am. Send me. I'll go be a witness for you. I want you to consider, when you leave here, you're being sent. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. You're being sent. There'll be times when you need to, listen, I'm telling you, when you have a, how many of you in you have a testimony of God in your life? How many, just raise your hand. You're a candidate. All I'm asking you to do, we had a guy to come in, I can't think of the guy's name. He said, melt down your testimony to 3 minutes or less. Just a little bit when you're talking to people. Just give no more than 3 minutes, and actually less is better. And then when they start asking questions, you've got an invitation to tell them more. If you've got this great big old 30-minute thing that you got to get through, will he ever be quiet? You understand what I'm saying? We live in a world of busy. We live in a world of fast pace. But I will tell you this, Jesus is coming back. When is he? Whenever he wants to. He's coming back. You need to see the condition of people. And you need to be willing to understand that you're sent when you see. Let your worship be full. Let your worship be pure. Let your worship be transparent. And when that happens, you'll see the Lord. And you'll see what he's done for you. You remember when the disciples, they were beaten for talking about Jesus, beaten, put in jail and all that. And they came before the council the next morning and said, all right, we're going to let you go. They thought, we're going to let you go, but you can't use the word of name. You can't say the name of Jesus. But we're going to let you go. Yeah. Now, they didn't, they didn't get together and say, well, what do you think we ought to tell them? What do we need to do? I mean, these are authority. I mean, they're going to beat it. They're really going to. No, they didn't do any of that. What did they do? They stood up and says, we cannot, you decide what you're going to do, because we've already decided. We can't help but mention the name of Jesus. So you can't stop us, but you do. You decide what you're going to do with us, because we're going to continue to talk about Jesus. They were full of him. I mean, they had him. They knew him, and they was willing to go tell anybody, even if it meant their life. Stand to your feet. We'll close. What did Isaiah say? Here. Here I am. Here am I. Send me. Can y'all say that? I'll tell you what, just say it to begin with. Say it loud. All right, now that's just words. Now you ask God if you're ready for that. If you're ready to be sent. I don't know what he's going to have you to do, but I know one thing. He's going to have you witness. You may dance across the floor over here, but he's going to have you witness. I heard a man say one time, he said, by all means, witness. And if you have to, use words. See, like Antony, his life, with him living, was a witness to people. The whole congregation stood up. I said, if he has touched your life in any way for God, stand up. There's about 450 people, or more than 450 people here. Why is that? He was doing what God wanted him to do. And he lived it in love with Jesus. And it didn't bother him to do it. So if you're ready to say, I mean it with my heart this time. Here am I. Send me. If you're ready, say it. Father, we've made this declaration. And we know, God, that we will need your strength to do it. We know that the enemy will rise up against us. He'll give us every excuse that we can ever think of to not do it. But Lord, we made a commitment to you, and we see that our worship is key to acknowledge what you've done in each and every one of us. And we ask you today, in the name of Jesus, to direct our steps as we follow your word and be moved by the Spirit of God. For your glory and your honor, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.